You're welcome to Grizz 901, your Memphis Grizzlies post-game show. I am your host, Daniel Greer, and we are presented to you by Bluff City Media. We'll be joined here very shortly with Nate. He is going to hang out with us, especially through our special guest tonight. We're going to have with us John Roser of Grind City Media, so make sure you stay tuned for that. He's not here just yet, but what we'll do is we're going to go ahead and get the show started as we always do. We're going to go ahead and get into kind of just speaking about the game and discussing what we like, what we didn't like, and then we'll take a quick break and bring him in as soon as he gets here. But tonight, the Grizzlies do go down 110 to 101 to the Timberwolves. That's 15 more points than they scored against the Nets. So that, ladies and gentlemen, we're taking that as glass half full. We're going to take that up for you. We'll take those extra 15 points. A great game from Jaren Jackson Jr. He did shoot a lot of three-pointers, but we'll get into a lot of that. And then in the second segment, we have Grizz Trivia. And you know, I have some good ones. Tonight, it's all about Jaren Jackson Jr. We were about him last time. Nate missed it. Tonight, we're back with him again. And then we're going to go ahead and get into the double dip that we have this weekend with the Portland Trailblazers. What does that say about the Grizzlies? Is it good to win? Is it bad to win? We don't know anymore. But you know what? We're always going to be cheering for some wins. But, you know, let's go ahead and get to the show. Nate, oh Nate.
Are you saying that I'm the show?
Oh. Let's get to it. Off the top rope, man. What's your thoughts?
Jaren sucks. We got to trade him. We got to start from scratch with this team.
I just love when like there's a bunch of just nonsense going around. You just have to wait like 48 hours for it to be proven to be nonsense. So shout out to all the Jaren haters. I like King is saying. I'm wondering where Goon's at. I'm sure he'll be here soon. Listen, he never misses a chance. So he'll be in here with some nonsense soon. But, yeah, just shout out to all the haters that got real quiet on Twitter tonight. Just saying. I don't tweet much, but I do scroll for sure. 33 and 13, can't rebound. Let's go, man.
Jaren, an incredible game. I said it earlier, incredible first half, especially rebounding. Like, he just came out of the gate, rebounded very well, and was a guy that kind of set the tone in a sense. And, you know, listen, the Timberwolves had a terrible night offensively early on, but a lot of that was because of the Grizzlies' defense and what they actually were putting up, but not all about their defense. It was some about their just shots just missing. Let's go ahead and ask the question about the Minnesota Timberwolves. If you're here, if you're a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, thank you for joining. But I want to ask you the question. Do you think this Minnesota Timberwolves team is for real?
It depends on what you mean by for real.
I want to know, in your mind, do you think they are a legit contender for the title?
No. And that's not shade. They've got all the talent in the world, but they remind me a ton. And we said this earlier this year. They remind me a ton of the Grizz. There's Goon. I know he'd be in here. They remind me a ton of the Grizz the first year they were like they finished as a two seed. Yeah. You know, like it's like they have all the talent in the world that if you put it on paper, they could compete, but I have a hard time seeing them make a conference finals, to be honest. Like it's the same thing, you just gotta grow up and go through it, and they just haven't been through it yet.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because Cat's been in the league a lot longer than I think a lot of people think. Gobert's been there forever. Conley's been there forever. But Ant's the guy that's got to get them there, you know? And we'll see. Maybe he performs. Maybe they do. But I have a hard time seeing them get into a conference finals and definitely winning a championship.
Yeah, no, listen, I think they did play well, as you were saying. I would say that they have a lot to improve on. Marco even says he'd argue JJJ better game than Ant tonight.
Yeah, especially when you consider he's the only one on the floor they really had the guard the entire game still. Like Jaren did all that, and he was really the only guy they had to guard other than GG for about 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
That was it. So he's doing that not just as like the 1A. He's doing it as like options 1 through 4. You know, Ant's 1A, but there's a lot of other guys on that Minnesota team to guard. So, yeah, I thought Jaren looked like the best player on the floor tonight.
Let's go through
and he gets the worst whistle in the freaking league still, dude. JB DeRosa, Scott Todorski,
Botrytis is just Botrytis. It is what it is. But good God, dude. You have more punchable ref crew.
Man, I like it. We're going to get to a little bit more of, I guess, the Minnesota stuff a little bit later on, because I do want to talk about them a little bit more in depth, because I think it'd be, intriguing, because they do have a lot to play for in general. Like going down throughout the rest of the season, they have so much more to play for than the Grizzlies do this season, not the future. But this season, I also want to ask you where Anthony Edwards might rank in your guys that either in the league, just in general, overall, how you view them, but also guys you tune in for. I want to know your ranking of him in chat right after the Grizz trivia. I'm going to ask that question because I think that Anthony Edwards is going to be up there in both. And I don't think that we've said that in the past. I think that he has been incredible. But now I think that the fun level of watching him, but also the level of him stepping into stardom superstar status, I think he's getting there. And so we're going to hit that in the second segment. I don't want to hear your thoughts just yet. Listen, I know you're cheesing over there. Go ahead and hit me what you're looking at.
Just shout out to Goon, man. The commitment to the bit. He's struggling in the chat tonight, but he's still going at it. So listen, we always respect the hustle here, especially because that's who plays for the Grizzlies every night.
Very well. I like that very much so. All right, let's go ahead and get into what we're always here about, and that's making some money. Shout out to Streetcars of Memphis. They are the comment section sponsor, from lift kits to wheels, tires, you name it. They will customize them all. They will pimp your ride. Just like John Rose's ride, they'll pimp his ride too. But Streetcars of Memphis, regular maintenance to your car, plus all the modifications, speakers, lights, lifts, wheels, whatever. They modify them all this month and last month and maybe the ongoing months. Grizz901 code, give them that. $55 oil change or a $65 full synthetic oil change, oil change at cost. Huge savings taking place down at Streetcars of Memphis. Check them out online at 901scm.com or go ahead and call them. 901-323-3332. Schedule your oil change, maintenance, customization needs today. They are the comment section. We haven't named it yet. We're going to find a name. I have no clue. I've struggled with that. Somebody else brought up the other day. I think it was the something to do with the Cub something or the Bear something. I don't know if I'm there yet. We're going to find it. But tonight, listen, the Grizzlies, they played fine. Like, it wasn't disgusting. You had some thoughts on it early on before we got onto the show. It wasn't a disgusting game. That's the biggest thing about it. Like, I don't think it was gross, but I do think that this is a team that's going to struggle when we don't have everything working properly. And I think that's what we saw tonight.
Dude, they were playing like the top team in the West tonight with Jaren Jackson and the Huffle Shuffle. I think Chris called him Jaren Jackson and the Heartbeats the other night. It's like, dude, they played really, really well, and they made them win the game. Yeah. Like, Anthony Edwards had to have a huge second half for them to win that game. And they played really, really well. I mean, you have Lamar Stevens matched up with Rudy Gobert. And by the way, winning that matchup for the most part, which I hated having to watch Lamar Stevens get used that way, but it's kind of just the boat they're in. Not to mention, you start off with Derrick Rose as your backup point guard, which has already not proven very fruitful this season.
What's going on
with that? Back goes out. What do you mean, what's going on? Why same thing goes on with you and me, dude. I'm going to get up from this podcast.
12 minutes.
I'm going to get up from the show and limp to the fridge to get some water because I feel dehydrated from talking too much because we're old.
Oh, my God. Like, it's bad. It's bad.
He's old. It is what it is. Like, he's old. That's what's up. But they played really well tonight. I mean, it wasn't great execution. Like, they shot terrible, right? Yeah, 29% from three, 38% from the floor. But they out-hustled that team pretty much the entire night. Yeah. And again, like, Jaren is the only true big you have. Sati is, like, technically a big, but he doesn't play like a big. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Lamar Stevens is your backup center. Like, they played really well tonight. I'm not mad at it. Jaren has an awesome night.
Hey, as Wayne's saying, the effort tonight, the way we played until the final whistle, that's really all you can hope for right now. That's all you want to see. is guys just going out there and playing. And that's really what we're seeing right now. We're seeing decent basketball. We look like they care, which is a bonus.
And the only guy tonight that didn't look like he belonged on an NBA floor was Yuta Watanabe. Like, Yuta is the only guy who I was like, what's happening here? And that includes Jaravia.
Whoa. That includes
Memphis Most Wanted, Jaravia, out there. He looks fine. Like, he passable. It is what it is, right? But it's not like I'm sitting there, I'm like, God, get him off the floor, right? It's like, do I want him to play? No. Is he going to do a lot for you? No. But he wasn't hurting you tonight, actively, probably indirectly in some way. But the only guy who I'm like, can't be out there is Yuta. It's the only guy. So they're out there playing hard. They're giving really good effort. They're leaving it all on the floor, you know, and they're getting out there and they're playing against guys like Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert and Mike Conley and Jaden McDaniels. I mean, you only have one guy that's that caliber of player even close, right?
Yeah.
I mean, heck, you throw Monty Morris in there. You really don't have any guys close to that level.
Right.
They're playing really well, you know, and I see some stuff. I saw something out there. Oh, Jaren's defense.
Yeah.
At the Jeff Appee with it's a good name to say. Rolls off the tongue. But talking about what happened to Jaren's defense, he has to do literally everything all the time. That's what happened to his defense. Like, also, you're putting Jake LaRavia on guys and Jordan Goodwin on guys. Or sorry, Jonathan Goodwin, not Jordan Goodwin. On guys. And you're putting all these guys out there. It's like, he has to do everything for you. So, yeah, his defense is going to slack. He also put up 33-13 tonight.
Right. Well, real quick, and this is the last thing we'll hit on before we bring in Rosa real quick. But talking about Jonathan Goodwin, I'm not even going to try to say his name. Sharma is what I'll say the last name is. Like, what are your thoughts on Goodwin? Because tonight he honestly is brought in, and they signed him as a two-way player. And so you're bringing him in. They went ahead and started him. I think simply because they're looking for some kind of point guard skills. They're looking for some ball skills just in general. And so you're bringing him in for that simple reason. There is no chemistry with him and the other guys. There just isn't. And so he's going to lack at seeing just Yuta Watanabe, who he probably might practice with when they have one practice a month. Like, it does. Like, the chemistry is going to be an issue with these young guys, but also these guys who have not played a lot together. But what's your thoughts on Jordan Goodwin so far before we hit our first break?
He gave an all-out effort tonight. I was not mad at all. And these guys, I mean, you got Vince Williams, who didn't have any chemistry with Jake LaRavia. They've been on the same team for 2 years, and they have miscommunication. Like, it's just going to happen. And listen, we're all in on Gigi. Everybody's all in on Gigi, you and me included. He did not look good after that first quarter tonight. Yep. He just didn't. Like, and it's going to happen. That's going to be what it's going to be, but we just can't overreact. I mean, if you told me the Grizzlies were going to go into Minnesota against a fully healthy Wolves team, take them a full four quarters and compete the whole time, I'd have been like, hey, cheers. Let's go. This is a good night. It's much better than what I thought the night was going to go. We just can't overreact, you know? And so I'm not mad about it. The only guy who I always thought was miserable tonight was Yuta. That's it. And again, like, even he, I'm like, whatever. He gets a pass. He's been here for 2 weeks and nobody knows each other's names. So.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
All right. Well, one guy's name you all know is John Roser. He's with Grind City Media. We're going to have him in here right after the break. So make sure you stay tuned. You don't want to miss that.
Yeah. Vince Williams is the closest thing we've seen to Tony Allen.
100%.
Since Tony Allen. I think that has been really thrown around very loosely in a kind of just joking manner for a lot of people because, you know, everybody, for the love that we have for TA, big factor in this franchise. We throw the grindson thing around lightly because it's just kind of funny on Twitter, but he is the closest thing to Tony Allen that has been so far in a Memphis uniform. And I think that's very, I mean, D'Anthony Melton might have been the other, but to your point, that's what made me think about this is that the fearlessness that he plays with, that's what Tony Allen played with. He did not care who you were. He doesn't see a name on that.
Tune in to The Daily Grind with Mark King and Luke Hatmaker at 1 p.m. every Monday through Friday, live on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
Yo, we are back. We are Grizz on One, the Memphis Grizzlies postgame show. We have our guy, John Roser. This is our first time, my first time meeting you here, Roser, but can't thank you enough for coming on here and hanging out with us tonight.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Daniel, I recognize you. You like a lot of my tweets when I tweet. I don't tweet that much, but when I do, I see it. So,
I'm a big heart guy. Yeah, I was actually talking to Nate the other day. I'm like, man, I can't do the Twitter stuff anymore. Like, dude, it's so difficult. The
same way for me, man. I'm like, and sometimes I'll tweet out an opinion on something and I'm like, I don't do it nearly as much anymore. I pretty much stick to retweeting what's on our show and things like that. Cause some of the comments that people, it's like people just want to engage you and want to have an argument about something. It's like, dude, I don't. Now I've got a freaking puppy here and she is at that age. Here? She's right here. Here she is.
Oh.
Yeah, here's little Sally. You're a star, Sally.
Sally. Shout outs to Sally, man.
Yeah, I've been hoping she would go out and poop all night, and she hasn't done it yet, which means she's going to wake me up at 2 a.m. having to go do it. So that's always going to be fun. No. But yeah, like, and now I've got this, and she occupies so much of my time now that it's like, if, you know, whatever. There aren't enough hours in the days. I'm sure y'all know that too.
Try get one of those humans. Like, it's a different breed.
And I'm different, doing that, man. I barely have the patience for her. I don't know what I'm cool with other people's kids. I don't know about my own right now.
Well, me either, but we're on the way.
I was about to say, Nate has one cooking right now. And so,
congratulations, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's, we'll see. I'm just playing, babe.
He's gonna be doing these post-game shows by himself. He's gonna be a baby crying in the background. He'll be like, hang on, I'll be right back.
Yeah,
exactly. We'll see how that goes when Sarah's studying. So,
yeah. All right, Roser, we had to have you on here. Listen, I had Santi on the actual, like, our graphic tonight, just because I always look for somebody that could be an X factor. And I really kicked myself after I put it together. I was like, I should have had Zaire on there because. I know you're Z season all day.
Yeah.
But shout out to Zaire. What's your thoughts on him tonight? Because he played pretty well.
Yeah, Zaire did play pretty well. I mean, now look, like, two of the threes he hit were about as lucky as shots as you can get. So
doesn't matter.
He's definitely been better since he came back from the injury. And you know, save for Monday night, but like nobody was good. Brooklyn Monday night? I've tried to forget that game. Yeah, Monday night, like nobody was good in that game. It's just one of those where, you know, this team, where they are, they have to play hard every time. Like every night, they've got to play insanely hard to just be able to give themselves a chance to win the game. Whereas a team like Minnesota, you see with them, like they're so good that they can just do what they did tonight against a team like the Grizzlies, and they can, which is what they did the last time they played us in Minnesota, where it's like the first three and a half quarters, it's kind of just coast, and then they just take off on it. They take off. And Minnesota essentially, it was what, like 106-98, and then we got it to like what, 106-101? And then four straight, and it's 110-101 with like a minute and change left, and that totally just puts the game away. No, look, at this point, I just have to be committed to Zaire. Like, I can't go the other way, you know. I have to defend him. But no, he's been better since he came back from the injury. It's very clear he plays better when the game gets up and down and it's really moving, which involves less thinking and more just free-flowing basketball. Obviously, he's better playing with Jai. He's one of the few guys on the team that catches lobs. And like Ja will throw lobs. So that's, I think, another reason as to why he plays better when Ja Morant's on the court. And, you know, the whole team freaking plays better when Ja Morant's on the court, because Ja Morant's one of the 10 to 20 best players in the entire NBA, depending on what night and what day of the week it is. No, but I think we forget a lot about we don't live in a patient world. Especially on social media and with some of these guys, you forget how young they are, and you expect, because John Morant was so awesome right away. And even Jaren, you saw it as a rookie. Like, you could see it. You could see it as a rookie. You're like, man, this guy's just got to fill out. He's got to get stronger. And you see Jaren is slow. There are still times where he still doesn't have total control of his limbs. But, like,
yes,
where he is now to where he was 3 years ago, and we forget he's only 24 years yep. old. Like, some of these guys, it just takes a lot of time. Like, I remember one of the guys. Y'all remember Rashard Lewis?
Yep.
Go look at Rashard Lewis's numbers when he first came in the league. And it's like,
did he start with Orlando?
He started with Seattle.
Okay.
But let me, because I remember him coming out of high school. And I mean, he came straight from high school, which is essentially right. what Zaire did.
Right.
Because Zaire did not have a freshman year of college basketball. It was the COVID year. And he's out in, you know, Stanford in California, where they didn't allow you to do anything. Like, Rashard Lewis averaged 2.4 points his first year, 8.2 points his second year, and then he jumped up to, you know, 15. But his minutes kept going up. Increasing. All the players got to play better to be able to get his minutes up. But, like, some of these guys, you just – it's pretty clear he's not going to be a star or anything.
Right.
Like – could Zaire become an effective role player by the time he's 25 years old? Yes. Now, are the Grizzlies gonna have enough patience? And do they want to do that? You know, we'll see. But I think with a lot of these guys, it's why like I'm still. It's the same. I'm the same way with Gigi. It's you know, Gigi's shown some flashes, but Gigi's also had a couple of rough games here lately.
Yeah. And
it's one of the things I saw with the hustle. I watched him with the hustle. He started off great, and then he started to tail off, hit a little bit of a wall. And I do wonder if maybe now, you know, and I'm kind of going all over the place here.
No,
but
well,
you remember Draymond Green saying after – or no, Draymond saying they were surprised by it, but Doc Rivers saying after the Milwaukee game how surprised they were by GG. And I think maybe some of it now is like, dude, GG's on that scouting report.
Exactly.
Now. Like, you're on that scouting report. So teams are looking at you like, okay, we've got to watch this guy. Because if we don't, this is what he likes to do. And if we don't pay attention to him, this guy's going to drop 20 on us. Like, he's done it against teams.
Yeah.
And so maybe there's a little bit of adjustment to that going on with GG these last couple of games. But I also think, like, dude, he's 19 years old. Like, we're probably not going to know what he's going to be until, you know, he's 24, 25 years old.
Well, that's what like I reference him as roller coaster GG for the simple fact that you're going to have the highest of highs and it's going to be amazing, but the lowest of lows are going to just suck. Like that's
he will have those games. He will have those games because he's not a guy who's going to get a lot of assists yet. You know, he hasn't developed that part of his game because he's freaking 19 years old.
Exactly.
You know, and so we'll see how that part of his game develops. He's got the potential because he has the size and the wingspan to be an even better rebounder. Because he basically ends up always getting like 5-6, sometimes 7 rebounds.
Yeah.
Like that's what he in the G League, he's like 20-7. It's like what he was like every time out. That's basically, and those were his averages. he has potential to do more than that. He has potential to block shots, he has potential to get steals with his length and athleticism. And so, how does he evolve as a player and develop is going to be a thing. Like, you know, he has all the tools to be able to do it, but you know, the one thing I've talked about with that I've said on the show is that, you know, how do these guys fit in? Cause you have to look at it through the prism of what happens when John Morant, Marcus Smart, and Desmond Bane are all there, you know, cause that's the big thing. And for a guy like Vince, like, we saw Vince play with those guys.
Mm.
And Vince fits in because Vince doesn't have to take 12 to 15 shots to be an effective player.
Yeah, he doesn't need the ball. Right.
That's the thing. Vince will go stand in the corner when those guys are on the court, and he will do 3-and-D. And I think one of the games in New Orleans that he played, like, he took, like, 5 shots. Like, he's totally cool doing that.
Right.
And he can affect the game in a positive way. How is Gigi going to affect the game on a winning team?
Correct.
You're not taking 15 shots a game. Now, maybe he develops so much over the summer and puts in the work that he comes out next year and, like, he's deserving of the 15 shots and he looks awesome. You know, maybe he has a massive year two leap. We saw Desmond Bane have it. It's not like it's not possible, but
Well, Gigi from the corner is incredible. I don't know if you looked at his numbers this year. They're just outrageous how good they are.
He's got all, I mean, that kid's got all the talent in the world. Right. Like there's no doubt about it, but you can still see parts of his game that he's very raw. And, you know, I think he's in a good situation here because they're smart over there. They are. They don't really ever talk, you know, obviously they don't say much, and that's because they don't want to, and you don't have to, you know, typically when the team's winning, you know, you let the results speak for themselves. But they try to put these guys in the best position possible, and they're going to give him every opportunity to succeed. There's no doubt. Sure.
He's also a kid.
He's a teenager. He's going up like John, Luca, and Kyrie are talking after a Mavericks game, and Gigi didn't play in the game, and Gigi comes up there. And he's like, hey, Kyrie, I'm Gigi Jackson. So say it's an honor to meet you. And Kyrie's looking at him like, who is this guy? You know, it's funny. And he does it to everybody. Like he's, you know, to all these all-star players, it's an honor to play in front of you, to be able to play against you. And you heard him with on Kelsey Wright Johnson's podcast talking about how he called Cam Whitmore after they played LeBron, asking him what it was like when he got to play against LeBron. So, you know, he is. He's still a kid.
Well, we know you love LeBron. And so the first question I have to bring in, this is from the Black Ninja DJ, wants to know, should we draft Bronny to try and get LeBron to come to Memphis next season?
No.
You're allowed to curse.
I won't. My mom may watch this. Same. Okay, here's your first hot take for the night.
All right.
I probably would change my mind if it happened as the season went on. I would rather not win a title than win a title with LeBron James on my team.
All right. So that's how Nathan is standing on it. And I do not like LeBron. I am not a LeBron guy, but I was the one. I was the devil's advocate last show explaining like, hey, he could potentially help bring a championship and stabilize, but only if he would take a huge pay cut. We're not paying him $30 million to come here. That's the only way. There's no way.
Yeah, like I don't know how we even.
Daniel wants him to come here for like $10 million a year. And I'm like, okay.
It's like, well, what? Like Dez's contract kicks in next year.
It does.
Mm-hmm. You got Dez, Ja, and Jared. Now, Jared's deal actually de-escalates, but you also need to plan for his next contract. What year is next year's Jared's deal? Is it year two or year three of his new deal?
I think he's got one more year after Dez's kicks in. So he's got two more years after this.
Okay. So whatever Jared's next deal is going to be monument.
Like, it'll be 40.
It's going to be the richest contract in franchise history. People go ahead and get prepared for that. That's what it's going to be. I know what the reaction was when Mike Conley a long time ago. Remember that little small stretch where Mike Conley was the highest paid player in the NBA and everybody freaked out about it? It's like all this does is just reset the market. And you're
it's like 3 months.
Right. It just resets everything. As a 49ers fan, I remember when Jimmy Garoppolo at one point was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL and everybody freaked out. And then within 3 months, he was like the fifth highest paid.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, he's like the 20th highest paid quarterback. Like it all just starts to, you know, it just resets the market. But like, just get ready for that. Jared's going to have the highest, biggest contract in the history of the franchise when that new contract comes up in a couple of years. But no, I mean, so it's like, I don't even know what their salary cap situation would be. I haven't looked at all their numbers to where, like, how could you even bring a LeBron in? And you've got to be careful with who you bring in for that fourth spot. I hear the Nicholas Claxton stuff, and I like Claxton. He's a good player. Probably would be great with Jaren and Ja. Like, he probably would be fantastic because he can rim run, and Ja will throw those lobs. The guy can rebound. He can play defense. So he probably would, but you've got to be careful with who you spend that fourth spot on. Now, we know they went after Mikal Bridges.
Right.
We know that one, that they did go after him, and they felt like he is a good enough one that if we're going to pay a fourth guy and we're going to be in that luxury tax, that that's a guy worth.
But he fits in every possible way.
Yeah. That's the question that you have to ask yourself if you're going to go after somebody like Claxton is, do you think as your fourth highest paid player, can you win a title with Nicholas Claxton? Is that
hold on?
Because everything you do has to be said. Does this 100%. Help us win a championship?
Danny, were you saying LeBron fits in every way possible?
No. Mikal Bridges.
Okay. I thought you were still on the LeBron.
Yeah, though. I'm interested in LeBron. Like, LeBron obviously is going to make, like,
he'll make you better.
Your team's good. Like, the LeBron teams are always good. Like, they're never, like, been a couple of times that they've been bad, they have been bad. Those first years of the Lakers when they played with all those young guys, and, you know, LeBron, like, his runs to the finals were some of the most fraudulent runs ever, but
100%.
Because you played in like the most watered down, worst Eastern Conference in the history of the NBA, and he never would have done that if he was in the Western Conference. And then somehow, lo and behold, and see, the Western Conference is back to being awesome this year, but there's been a stretch there where the Western Conference actually wasn't as good, and lo and behold, he won the fake COVID title. So but
yes.
Look, you started me.
I know, I did.
Yeah, you started me on this.
Well, you should have.
But like, his teams typically, other than like a few of them, like other than like, I mean, the guy's been in the league 20 years.
Right.
Like, I admit, dude, he's one of the 10 best players of all time. I don't think he's top five, but whatever. He's one of the 10 best players of all time. He absolutely is. And so, like, he's going to make your team better, but like, LeBron very much in the half court. Like, I don't know how him and Ja would work some half court ball because they both have the ball in their hands.
Yeah.
And so I don't know now. LeBron will run and attack the goal, and he can still catch lobs because he's still a freakish athlete. Yeah. He's freakish. He's a freakish athlete for how old he is.
For sure.
But, you know,
it would be fun.
I mean, look, if I'm a Grizzlies executive and I can get LeBron James, I get LeBron James. Right. Like, you do it, you know. Yes. But like, this is me is just talking like personally, like my preference.
That's okay.
Like, basketball fan, but like, if I'm an executive, I'm like, dude, if I can get LeBron James, I can get LeBron James. Wow. Like, you know what it does for your ticket sales?
And you call his bluff.
Yeah.
We'll draft Bronny, and if you don't come here, that's on you, dude. You're letting your son down.
No, it's on you. And you. Damn, man, that's a tough. You know, I will say, you know, he did have the tweet the other day, which was, man, you know, like let him be a kid, and I'm seriously sitting there laughing because it was about 1 year ago to the day. It was like March, sometime the first week of March last year. He tweeted, man. Watching these games, Bronny is better than a lot of these cats playing the NBA right now. I'm like, well, hold up, man. You can't say that, and then a year later, you start backtracking on this.
Yeah,
like you can't be doing that. But I mean, kind of what LeBron does.
I love it. Well, we have John Roser here with Grind City Media here. I'm gonna get to a bunch of the questions that are coming through. A lot of them are not Grizzlies related, so I'll get to those first. Because those would be the best. From Austin wants to know, do you like the new Dune movie? Have you seen it yet?
I've not seen it. I have not. I don't go to a lot of movies.
Okay. So you're not Bennett Doyle.
No, Bennett loves it. Bennett told me he's going to see it on Sunday. I've heard good things. I thought it was like a Mad Max movie, but he said no.
I did too.
It's more like a sci-fi. It's the guy who did like Sicario. Which apparently
was
really it's good. Like an epic. It's an epic type movie.
Yeah, no, I haven't. Sure. No, the last movie I saw in the theater was Oppenheimer. I saw Oppenheimer.
It's much more Oppenheimer than Mad Max.
Well, okay. Oppenheimer was great. Cillian Murphy. I mean, I haven't seen all the best actor. I've seen two of the best actor movies. I saw Oppenheimer because Cillian Murphy's nominated, and I saw I made it through like 35 minutes of Maestro. And I love Bradley Cooper, but my God, that movie sucks. It was so boring. I turned it off. I couldn't do it. And I asked Bennett. I texted Bennett and Jessica Benson. I said, yo, I'm like 30, 40 minutes into Maestro. Does this get any better? Because my God, I'm bored out of my mind. And Bennett says, no, it doesn't get any better. And Jessica said, I haven't watched it because I have not met one person that said they enjoyed it. So I have not watched it. And I was like, okay, so I'm turning this off. It insanely boring, but Cillian Murphy, I would imagine, he probably went best actor. Like that, his performance was amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, you are Johnny Rotten Tomatoes for a reason. So let's go to your next one. Your guy, the Yee. Favorite Kanye West song.
Ooh.
I only need one. I don't need you to give me 10. Trying to break it down.
This is tough. Because he's got a gazillion of them.
I'm not a big Kanye fan.
Yeah,
I know you are.
I'm a massive fan. Yeah. My favorite one. I mean, like, my intro, like, if I had, like, a walk-up song, if I played baseball, would be All the Lights. But I don't, I mean, I don't know if that's my favorite.
Is there a song, because, like, right now I play a Taylor Swift, it's for my kids, like, our last basketball game. We've come to the tradition because I was a baseball player. We have a walk-up song when I was, you know, obviously growing up. Well, my wife was, it was her idea, like, hey, let's play some jams as we go drive to the basketball game. And they always would request one song at a certain point because it would end right when we were pulling up to the game. It was always some Taylor Swift song. I have no clue which one, but it's not Cruel Summer, I found, because that's right. Not the cool one anymore. But like, there has to be a song that, like, hey, if I had to have a moment, like a jam out, what would my one song go?
Okay. The one so I'm going to go with an underappreciated one. I'm in it.
Underground.
I'm in it. Off Yeezus. I think Yeezus is his best album. I think it's genuinely his best album. There's a podcast, Dissect. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. On the Ringer.
Never heard of that.
It's this guy does, and he goes, he does albums, and he just goes song by song, line by line, the production of the songs, and he basically tells you what they're about. And if you and he's done a Dissect on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, but he also did one on Yeezus. And if you listen to that, when Yeezus came out, most people were like, what in the world is this? I was one of them, because it sounds nothing like anything you've heard.
Really?
And yeah, I mean, the whole album is basically the middle finger to terrestrial radio and the recording industry. the entire album is. But the guy goes through every line, every song, the production, and basically what the album is really about. And it's fascinating, and you gain a new appreciation. I think New Slaves is probably, it might be the best song. It's his most political song, but I'm In It is the one that I think amazing.
Well, our biggest Jaren hater is Goon the Shooter, and he says Kanye West is the truth. And I'm shocked. I've never seen him give praise.
You need people like him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Be different.
I've wondered how would Tupac be covered today? How would somebody like Tupac be covered today? Because, like, you know, Tupac would speak out about everything in the world. Like,
yeah.
Tupac would say some crazy stuff. Like,
but would he wear a face mask? Would he make his wife wear tinfoil?
Well, he doesn't make his wife wear
saran wrap.
She chooses to wear that. He doesn't make her wear that. But the mask. Okay, so here's the story. So you know why he wears the mask?
No idea.
Okay, so he wears the mask because paparazzi follows him everywhere, right?
Right.
So he wears the mask. He said, he's like, because paparazzi, they will take photos of you and you just may be like making a certain facial expression. Oh. And then they start opining what you're thinking or you're having a bad day and things like that. Right. He's like, wear the mask. They don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know. And the mask is cool. I should have worn a mask.
I would have died if you wore a mask coming in here.
Masks would have been so much cooler during COVID if we had like all these crazy designs and everything. And not just like the hospital mask we had to wear everywhere.
Sitting at home alone.
Yeah.
Please don't. Yeah. Don't remind me. All right. So listen, we're already over our time, but I do want to go through these. So
I'm having fun. Let's talk.
All right. Let's do it.
I'm going to go to bed. So
listen, we now have from LOL Nope Jones activated Roser. So let's go to our next one. This is a 49ers question. Our guys and gals know you because they know the Grind City Media. The 49ers defensive coordinator. What do you want?
Bill Belichick.
Who you want, Bill Belichick?
I want Bill Belichick to be our defensive coordinator, but that's not going to happen. I don't know. Like, there's nobody like who is available. I know they.
That's what I was wondering.
They interviewed the defensive backs coach for the Chiefs. Like Steve Wilkes was going to be gone no matter what, even if they would have won. Because most people just view him as a scapegoat for the Super Bowl, but it's like,
he wasn't good.
He did call a great Super Bowl. He was great. Like he did. Right. Like Wilkes was awesome in the Super Bowl, but he was not awesome against the Lions and he was not awesome against the Packers. And he had a ton of bad games throughout the season, a ton of bad games throughout the year. And so when you add all of it together, it's like, most people just see the one game because the Super Bowl obviously is the most watched thing on television every year.
Right.
Sporting event, non-sporting event. So, yeah. No, I'm interested in somebody from that Ravens, Harbaugh, Michigan tree.
Mm.
That guy who got the job with Seattle. Hate the Seahawks.
Mike.
Yeah, whatever.
McMahon or something.
McDonald.
Something, yeah. Mike McDonald, I think.
Yeah, Mike McDonald. Because what those guys, and you see Michigan was the same way with Jim Harbaugh, that Jesse Minter. The things that they were doing on the defensive line, because that Ravens defensive line was not loaded with star talent. Like, it's not. But they were they had the best pass rush in the league all year. Statistically, they had the best.
That's some amazing.
Their offense is what screwed up that AFC championship game. Their offensive play calling was.
Ravens have some great linebackers. Like Patrick Queen was
Roquan Smith.
Roquan.
Yeah. And Kyle Hamilton is the freaking Swiss Army knife of all Swiss Army knives on defense. Like, that dude can play corner. He can play safety. He can play linebacker.
Yeah.
He can just be all over the place. No, they do. They have crazy talent. But just how they work their defensive lines, I'm interested in something. I'd be interested in something like that because I know they want to get back. Our pass rush was not as good. When you have Eric Armstead, who got hurt a lot this year, but Nick Bosa, who obviously didn't have any of training camp because he was his contract. Javon Hargrave was good for the first three games, and then he fell off a cliff, who was their big free agent signing. Chase Young was not that good. Chase Young had a great Super Bowl, but before that, he was not that good when they acquired him. So, they got a lot of talent there. So just somebody that can – I thought they wanted to get back to having the elite pass rush.
Yeah. All right, real quick, Mike Vrabel, any chance you'd be happy with bringing him in?
Yeah, I'd be cool with Vrabel. Okay. I don't think Vrabel would do it.
I don't think he would.
I think Vrabel wants to be a coach. He wants to be a head coach. And I mean, it's the same thing with Belichick. They both want to be head coaches and have more front office control.
Yeah, and they've gotten paid so much that they can take a year off.
Right, they can do what they want. That's the thing with Vrabel. I think Vrabel's a really good coach, and you can say the Titans are dumb for letting him go, and I would not disagree with you on that at all. But it's you just hired Rand Carthen, and if Vrabel's already butting heads with him, you're not going to fire the GM after one season. Right. Because as far as I know, Rand Carthen didn't trade A.J. Brown for nothing. Which I was at that 49ers Titans game in Nashville when the only reason the Titans won is because AJ Brown, it was the only reason.
Yeah.
They just came out in the second half and they're like, all right, we're going to Tannehill's like, all right, we're just going to throw to AJ Brown and 49ers, we cannot stop it. Seemingly you would think it would be easier for Jalen Hurts to do that too. Just throw AJ Brown the ball.
God, I hate Jalen Hurts.
So, but you're not going to get rid of the GM after 1 year. Yeah. So, I kind of understand it if they're already butting heads. It's just, and Vrabel probably, it appears the Titans are going through they're going to go through a rebuild. So,
I hope so.
You're right. So,
you're letting go of Vrabel.
He's probably trying to stick around for that. Yeah. And if he is, he wants control. He wants to be able to call the shots. If you're going to let me, if you want me to stick around for this, you better let me call the shots.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go over to Yogi Rosa real quick. And Wayne is from, where's Wayne from? Australia? Is that right? Nate, you know?
Yeah, he's an Aussie.
Yeah, Aussie. So he's, absolutely. So we have a lot of Australia people that come through here on a normal basis because it is their daytime. A lot of times it's their lunch hour.
Yeah.
They're watching this right now. And so we do have a lot of international people, but he wants to know, are you still doing yoga? But my question is what kind of yoga, if you are still doing it?
Yeah.
It looks like Bikram yoga.
I've never done Bikram yoga. Bikram. I go to Yoga 6 downtown Memphis. It's right across from Slider Inn down here. I haven't gone this week. I haven't been able to this week. I went twice last week. I'm going on Saturday morning. I may go tomorrow night. I haven't decided yet because we don't have a game. So I might just go tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. But I do hot yoga there. They also do a class called Restore, which is I would tell everybody to do a restorative yoga class. It's amazing. It's chill. The room's 70 degrees, so it's a normal temperature. You know, hot yoga, it's like 105 degrees in there, and it's pretty, it can move fast, and you're going to sweat a lot and burn a lot of calories. But like Restore Yoga, it's like you hold these stretches, and a lot of it, like you're on the floor too. So you're not having to like stand up in these weird poses. Like you'll be on the floor doing them. So, and you'll just lay there for like a minute to 2 minutes, just holding it and holding the stretches. And do you feel, you walk out of there and you feel so much better. And I'll do a class they've got called Sculpt and Flow where it is difficult. Like it's not as much yoga as it is. You're lifting weights and doing a fast paced, intense workout, but the weights, you're not using heavy weights. Like I'm using, I use like 8 pounds and 10 pounds, which you don't think is that much, but when you're doing stuff so fast, it adds up. Yeah. It all starts to add up. But so I do those three classes there.
I like it. I like it. I've only done, back in college, they made us do a yoga Lattes, which is a combo.
Yeah.
Miserable every 5 a.m. I hated my life.
5 a.m. I did the 6 a.m. hot yoga class down here. I did it on a Friday one time. I have not, because I kind of had like a crush on the teacher a little bit, and
time to do it.
It was so miserable that I've never been back at that. I'm like, my body can't handle it that early in the morning. Like I can't do it, you know.
All right, let's get to the last few. We'll go off, we'll stay off right here. This is SmackDown, March 15. Roser, this is like the fourth or fifth person, but the Black Ninja DJ wants to know, are you going to go to SmackDown?
Probably not. Tickets are getting way too high.
Dude, they're $100 for the nosebleed.
I should have bought the day it was getting announced. Yeah. I could have bought seats on the lower level for like $100 a piece. Like I could have bought like...
That I would do.
Plaza, like $100 a piece. And then after it got announced, the cheapest I saw on the Plaza was like 186. And then, you know, after taxes and fees, it's going to be like $300 a piece. Because for some reason, there's all these, there's a fee to be able to buy the ticket. And then there's a fee for that ticket that has another fee that to email it to you. And then there's a fee to add it to your Apple Wallet, and then there's a fee when they scan it. Like it's just fees everywhere. So I probably won't go. I've seen The Rock in person though. I went to SmackDown at the Pyramid when I was in high school. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, it was awesome. If you can go or you have tickets, like go see it. The Rock's it's pretty. And I was at WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans. When I
was as well.
Yeah, when The Rock, Hulk Hogan, and Stone Cold opened the show, which was really freaking cool.
That's cool. On those prices, like Charlie Vine says, nah, I'm going to stay at the house on that one. All right. Last two, these are Grizzlies related questions. So Hartenstein, thoughts on him maybe in the offseason, bringing him in as being maybe the potential fill in for the center position?
Yeah, I like Hartenstein. I like Hartenstein. You know, you really see when these Grizzlies, although they did a good job rebounding tonight. But typically these teams like Minnesota, with the way the Grizzlies are thin up front, like the rebounding thing, they struggle against some of these big guys. So we saw Hartenstein when the Knicks came in here. Hartenstein had a big rebounding night. We've seen Zubats have big rebounding nights against them. You see these teams that have real big centers. Even saw when we lost to Toronto on our home court, Poeltl. Yeah, Poeltl had a big game. Like, he had a solid game. Yeah. Like, he wasn't amazing or anything, but, like, just the setting screens and just being freaking big and just, like, it just moves people out of the way. I'm cool with Hartenstein.
Yeah.
He probably costs you a lot less than Nicholas Claxton.
That's what my argument has been this whole time. I agree. All right. So the draft, Nate doesn't know anything about the draft, but I do want to ask this question.
I probably don't either.
But you do. I think y'all talked about it today on the show. Playboy Danny wants to know about Reed Sheppard. He is one of the guards that has played very well. Listen, we have to step up for our white brethren, the great white hope, Reed Sheppard.
Right?
Yeah, for the culture. We might have a chance to bring in somebody. He might not have a lot of wiggle, not as much as Dillingham might have, but you know what? We have to support Reed Sheppard. So do you like him?
Yeah, I'm cool with Reed Sheppard. I didn't watch that game last night against Mississippi State. I went to bed so early last night. But I've watched him. He is actually – Kentucky is one of the teams I have watched because I'm like, okay, let's see how these players will underachieve in college basketball on a John Calipari team. Exactly. They're going to be awesome when they play in the NBA. Yeah. But no, like that kid can play like he can. That kid's good. And, you know, so many of these guys at the top of the board are European players. So it's like I could turn on YouTube. I could watch YouTube highlights. But, like, dude, you want it like everybody can be awesome on YouTube. You know who has one of the greatest YouTube mixes of all time from high school? Perry Jones.
Oh,
Perry go watch Kansas. Perry Jones's high school mixtape. And you were like, holy crap, this is like more athletic Kevin Garnett. And breaking news, he was not. he was not. But like, if you just watch his high school mixtape, you're like, this dude is gonna be freaking amazing. Right. And then he was not at all.
No, he seemed like he was at Kansas forever, though.
Yes, he. Was he?
What wasn't he? Perry Jones?
No, he was at Baylor. He was at Baylor. That was Perry Ellis.
Perry Ellis. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That was a Perry. It's a Perry. Yeah. Yeah. Perry Ellis was at Kansas River. Perry Jones was at Baylor for a year and he got drafted like late first round by the Thunder. And he never, you know, for everybody that thinks all the Thunder draft picks pan out, you know, they don't all pan out.
Yeah.
They just have every pick. So when you have every pick, you're going to hit them, you know. Like they have every pick. Who else is up there that I have actually seen? So, DJ Wagner's not playing, is he?
I know he was hurt for a while.
I watched him earlier this season, and I was like, man, that kid's athletic as hell.
He'll probably be a lower from one of these better teams. You know, in the bottom of the first round, we'll probably take a chance on him just because his dad was awesome, right? And so him just being in general, he would be probably a good player. He is playing now, is right.
Let's see. Who is this? Let's go to what is this Tankathon thing? All right, I sound like such an old dude. Okay, so like the first three picks they have here are European guys.
Yeah.
Then Cody Williams from Colorado. I have not watched Colorado play basketball. Ron Holland, I didn't get to see him. And he shut down for the rest of the season for the Ignite. He didn't play in either of the two games. Buzelis, I saw him play.
He's skinny.
He is. But he's tough. Okay. I thought he was tough. There were a couple plays where he went right at Cameron McGriff for the hustle. And if you Google Cameron McGriff's a big dude. Like he is. Like crazy strong. And
Buzelis, like Fred McGriff.
Yeah. Crime dog. he did not back down. He did not back down at all. So I don't hate Buzelis. I don't think he's like a star. No. Like, I don't think that. But I don't know if any of these guys are. This is not supposed to be some crazy, amazing draft. Yeah, a lot of these guys. I was just telling Chris today off the air. I was like, I got to start watching more college basketball now. Like, I usually just wait till the tournament, conference tournaments. But I was like, I probably just need to start watching now because we're going to be doing so much draft stuff because we're going to have a good pick.
But none of these guys are playing in college, really. Like, you might watch Kentucky.
Kentucky, Filipowski. This 6'6" point guard from UConn, Stephen Castle. I haven't watched him. Dalton Connect. I have not seen Tennessee play all year. I've not watched Tennessee play once.
Go look at the highlight tonight. Dalton Connect went off.
Oh, he did. He played well. Hadn't the thing been with him is that he's way better on the road than he is at home?
I don't know that. I just know that he's big and he can fill it up. He can shoot really well. And so
I just looked up and he dropped 40 tonight, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty good in college.
Oh, who is this dude from Kansas? Johnny Furphy?
That's an awesome name.
He's from Australia, too. Let's go.
We could get Wayne. We could get Wayne his wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. John, he's a 6'9 freshman. 6'9,
202. He's literally spelled Murphy, but with an F.
Yeah.
That's Furphy. Awesome.
Furphy. He averages 9 and 5. He shoots 51 from the field, 37.4 from three. Johnny
Furphy. Yeah, we're going to pass on Johnny Furphy.
He is from Melbourne now.
Yeah. I mean, he's projected like mid first round.
Yeah. There's not many people.
Kid? Everybody loved this McCullough kid from Kansas, but he's kind of fallen down.
Yeah. I think the draft is going to change so much. And within the Grizzlies, what they have, they could be top four. They could be down in 6, 7, 8. And at that point, you're going to get one of these guys if you want them. It's just who they love.
Okay, so we're scheduled to also pick 38th. I'm more interested in the 38th pick. All right. I'm not kidding. I'm more interested because here's why. Because they have at 38th, the Grizzlies, this is on Tankathon, taking Trevon Brazil from Arkansas. Whatever. That doesn't interest me. We know the Grizzlies will trade up in the second
round.
Always do it. And they just stocked, they just loaded up with a couple of second round picks that they got at the trade deadline, like three or four of them.
Yep.
Going 35th to the Bucks. They have 7'4", 300-pound Zach Edey from Purdue. 100% I would trade up and get Zach Edey. I would absolutely love to get Zach Edey. Yes. Because here's why. I'm also going to get to see him in South Haven, and I'm going to get to call games in South Haven. 100% would take Zach Edey in the second round.
Bro, I can't tell you, but you're welcome is not warm anymore.
We don't like Zach Edey. That's not a thing. We don't like Zach Edey.
Look at like he's
great and white, but not the hope.
Okay, but is he? He's better. He's better than Luka Garza.
Everybody's saying he's a white the beat.
He's a white the beat. Oh, come on. Meeks, I see Luka Garza is not
a good selling point.
But hey, look, Meeks, here's the thing. We're not taking him with the second pick. We're taking him with the 30-something pick. He's a second-round pick.
Isn't he Asian? That's a big
– when the selling point is I get to call his games with the hustle, I'm like, I don't know if I want that pick in
here. That's why I wanted Cameron Crutwig. I wanted him to draft Cameron Crutwig. I was like, I wanted the mullet guy from Baylor. Who, by the way, I've seen in the G League this year, Matthew Mayer. You know, he played for Baylor, then transferred to Illinois, but he played for Rio Grande Valley. Yeah, he sucks. I'm glad we don't have him. He's not very good. Sucks is a strong word. Wasn't very good. Was not very
great
good.
Hair, though.
Yeah. Except he doesn't have it anymore. He just has a nasty mustache now. I'm like, oh, come on, man.
Careful around playgrounds. Like,
if you're going to have that, you've got to have the NASCAR mullet to go with
it. Yeah. Just like your favorite show, Love is Blind. He cut the mullet off. Oh
my God.
What's his Love name? Whatever blind. His name was.
That Let's, show.
Yeah. I tried to finish it tonight with my wife.
When did the new episodes come out? Because I have to finish it now.
I think tonight.
Like, oh, they came out tonight?
I've seen the latest, most of the latest too. Me and my wife tried to watch them before the Grizzlies started, but yeah.
Very good. Yeah, I have no games tomorrow night, so.
It's a Love is Blind night.
The Tigers play tomorrow night? I don't know.
All right, listen, let's get you out of here.
Hang on. Let me ask y'all this.
Stay as long as you want.
Bro, I've been talking to a puppy for like the last – like, I don't know, since I got home from the office. So, like, please, this is like human interaction for me. Like, this is good. And she's sleeping over there, so we're cool. She's on her bed and she's sleeping. Like, do we think – where was – I don't even remember where I was going with this now. I totally lost my train of thought. No. Yeah. Where was I – what was I saying?
Hold on, I got a question, though.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm bringing this up. Is Zach Edey not white?
How is he not white?
Listen, I saw somebody say he was Asian, but I'm not sure his nationality.
Oh, I was going to talk about the Tigers. We do just realize, like, maybe they were just never good.
Because
the teams they beat, like, I mean, they're fine. Like, they can't – they could win the conference tournament. Like, that's absolutely possible. And then get like a 10 seed and beat a 7 seed in the first round. Like, that can happen. Right. But like, the teams they beat are not that good. Like, Clemson's pretty good. Clemson is pretty good. But like, I don't think Virginia, Arkansas's terrible. Michigan's terrible.
Well, we've seen that now because
Texas A&M's terrible. Like, so they haven't beaten anybody. That's ultimately what it looks like. Is like they haven't beaten anybody. The shocking thing with the Tigers is, like, Penny's offenses have always been terrible. Like, they always look bad. And the years they don't look as bad is because he's had Kendrick Davis and Jeremiah Martin. Like, so you just give them the ball with 10 seconds on the shot clock and they're good enough to make something happen. The thing that's been disappointing is their defense has been so bad this year. Yeah. And Penny's defenses have always been awesome. They have always been one of, like, the 10 best defensive teams in the country under Penny, and their defense has been terrible this year.
Well, I just don't think they're buying in to just in general, like, if you see the rotations and how they rotate, somebody said the other day, one of the opposing coaches told his players, you're going to be wide open out there getting ready. Like, when you get past the ball on the perimeter, you're going to be wide open. Don't freak out. Just step up and drain it, because the way they rotate was very similar to the way the Grizzlies were rotating in the very first 25 games of the season. Like, the rotations were way off and nobody was filling in and picking up, you know, the shooters that would be out on the perimeter. So that's really what
they also don't defend the pick and roll. Like, Quinterly in the pick and roll, defending the pick and roll is like, I mean, I think we might be able to score in the pick and roll if he's defending us.
So what I've said so far on the Tigers, and I think what's going to happen is they're going to do what the Cowboys do. Unfortunately, I'm a Cowboys fan. They're going to now they hit the big dip of the season, right? Where they just
crap about being a Cowboys fan. We all got teams for our reasons. Like, look, man, and you have bad years and you go through.
We have a lot of bad years, but they get our hopes up. Very similar to what the Tigers are going to do. And so they hit their bad part, right? And now they're going to go up, right? And you're going to see the Tigers start looking good, and they're going to give you that glimpse of hope, and they're going to win a couple games in the tournament, and then somehow they're going to lose in the finals of the conference tournament and miss the tournament again. And it's going to happen. I can just see it already.
Or they're going to win the conference tournament, and then they'll be in like the 8-9 game, as they always are, and they'll knock off like I don't know who's like an 8 seed. They'll knock off like
Villanova.
Yeah, who they lost to already. But like, no, who's oh my gosh. Who's like a Big East team that's going to be in like an 8-9 game? I don't know. St. John's. Like, John's probably making the tournament, but that sounds right. Rick Pitino, Penny Hardaway, first round matchup. And then that will feed into like freaking Arizona, and Arizona will beat them by like 25 or something. Like, it'll just go like something like that'll happen, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I hope they get it figured out. Like, it stinks, man, because it was so promising, and you know, it just kind of fell off, and it stinks. Like, we all want them to get it figured out. Hopefully they do, you know. And what really stinks is that, like, okay, well, you got to do this whole transfer thing all over again next year.
Yeah. No, they're going to.
The whole thing is like, well, David Jones could come back. Well, like, what's to say like a freaking awesome team doesn't come and offer David Jones more money than you can give him, and he goes and plays for, you know, I don't know, Florida or, you know, like, what if one of those SEC schools, or maybe a big, you know, or Baylor, or, you know, I don't know, Kansas, somebody like that goes and pays him.
Yeah. You're definitely going to see a completely flip roster. Like, there's no way they don't.
It's like none of these guys are going to be back, except maybe like Ashton, because that's his son.
He lives with him.
Yeah, he lives with him.
He's got a free room and board.
Not letting him leave. Yeah. It's like, he's like, hey, we don't see Ashton for like 4 months. And he comes out and he's like 30 pounds lighter because his dad is just like, tied him up in the room and like won't let him leave, and he's never been able to transfer. Or
shooting jump shots only. Like, that's all you can do, bro. Just
it's all he's doing. But yeah, I hope they get it figured out. What else is going on in sports?
Listen, absolutely.
I got a prediction. These were my NBA second half season predictions. East Finals, Knicks Heat. I think Knicks Heat. especially if the as long as the Knicks get everybody back. I'm counting on the Knicks getting OG back. I'm counting on getting is Mitchell Robinson supposed to come back, right?
He's supposed to. He's on schedule too.
Tough to even get him in and get that could be tough. But all those guys, the Knicks get all their guys back, dude. They are going to be a bitch to deal with in the playoffs. Like they are going to be a pain in the ass.
Really?
The Miami thing is, dude, Jimmy Butler's different in the playoffs.
I know. Are, man.
He's well, different. Also,
it is different.
I can't count the Celtics out on my end, but also,
yeah, right I'm now, with you. Like,
Knicks.
I want the Celtics to win it all.
Well, right now, it's just shaping up where the Knicks Heat could be a first round matchup.
Yeah, right. So that is what it all do. It, yeah. So it all depends on that. The West Finals. I say Clippers Mavericks, which could also be a first round matchup. But if it's not, I say Clippers Mavericks. If not that, I would go T Wolves Mavericks. I think Minnesota's legit. I think really? Minnesota's really, really good. Yeah, I think Minnesota's really good.
Wow. I was about to ask that because that was the first thing we talked about when we got on the show before you hopped on. Was
yeah, I think they're really
think they are.
I think they are when they want to turn it up defensively. Like they are a pain to deal with, man. Like, because they actually have the guys who can defend on the perimeter.
Yeah.
So Gobert doesn't have to like run out there and guard all these guys. Like they've got the athleticism to be able to guard on the perimeter. And so then you freaking see Gobert hanging back there. Like, dude, he's like -800 to win Defensive Player of the Year, which is crazy. I think we're gonna have a first time MVP winner.
Who? Because it have to be Shea.
It could be Shea. It could be Luka. It could be Luka.
You think that Luka will carry them that far, though? The Mavs. I know
it's off to a bad start post All-Star break. But I also was thinking Kawhi. It's crazy. Kawhi's number one MVP. He's won everything else, but he hadn't won MVP.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, and well, Kawhi's been awesome this year.
Yeah. Well, they're playing right now against the Lakers. Clippers are up 71-58. And your guy, Kawhi Leonard, 14-5-3. James Harden's going off.
George isn't playing tonight. What's Harden doing?
He's got 21 points, but only 2 of 7 from deep, which is surprising.
Well, it's nice to see Harden actually deciding to show up now after the All-Star break. Like, he hit the one shot, which was the biggest shot of the game against the Grizzlies.
But he's
not a good post-All-Star break. He looks like he was – still thinking about Vegas nights, you know?
Well, I think everybody's agreeing.
Blackjack table.
Yeah. Everybody's for the most part, everybody's agreeing.
I see you chatting, watching me, getting my ideas. Minnesota is good. We're agreeing on there. Minnesota's good. They are. Yeah. I think they're really good.
See, I don't trust them yet.
And I said all this without saying Denver.
Yeah, that's what's
my problem. I said all this without saying Denver because Jokic is the best player in the world. I don't think it's even close. I don't think Giannis or Embiid are even close to him, to Jokic.
I don't think so either. I think he's playing so well.
Giannis plays with another all-star. Giannis plays with other all-stars.
Yeah.
Embiid plays with another all-star in Tyrese Maxey. Now, you could say so does Jokic and Murray, but Murray has never made an all-star team. But Murray is in the playoffs. Playoff Murray's different. It's a Jimmy Butler thing. Playoff thing.
He's never made the he's never made an all-star.
Jamal Murray, I don't think he's ever made an all-star team.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
I just always remember when Murray and Don going back and forth
in the playoffs in the bubble.
With LeBron's state title.
It was crazy. But Jokic. This year, I've got Jokic and Luka. I think Jokic and Luka have been the two best players in the NBA this year.
Yeah, that's
I think Luka's insane.
I just wanted to have a different opinion, so that's why I say he's going to be a first time MVP winner. But I would probably bet Jokic wins it. I would bet he does win it.
I think so.
But too. I want to go with a first time winner. You brought up SGA. Like, if you're OKC, one, you don't want to play the Lakers in the first round because they're big. They're big, and they will knock you around, and the Grizzlies found that out last year. Two, I think SGA is awesome, but I do wonder how his game translates in the playoffs because he depends on getting to the free throw line. Yeah. And we saw that over the years with James Harden.
Yeah.
Like, dude, they stopped calling that stuff, They do. They stop calling it in the playoffs. You don't get as much ticky-tack stuff, especially down the stretch late in games. Yeah. So is SGA going to be depending on getting to the free throw line 10 to 12 times a game in the playoffs? What does his efficiency look like if he can't get there?
Well, not against LeBron, not against the Lakers in general, but if you're looking at these other teams, there's no way you'll get more calls than Jokic will get, for sure.
Right.
Like, there's no way.
Yeah. No, not a chance.
You're losing that. All right. Last question. Then I'm gonna do Grizz trivia. We're gonna get out of here. There's no reason to stay any longer than that. Right. We'll do Grizz trivia with you, Roser. Is that school with you?
Yeah.
All right. So let's. Last one. This is from your guy King Meeks, Rookie of the Year. Who you got?
I mean, it's gonna be Wemby.
It's
gotta be Wemby.
Nate,
he's ridiculous.
Anything else you got on him?
If he doesn't get injured, he's gonna be one of the five best players to ever play basketball.
He's freaky. I'm buying tickets here in Utah to go see him play.
You live in Utah?
Yeah.
Where? Salt Lake? You live in Salt Lake?
Yep.
It's a beautiful city, man. I was there for All-Star last year.
It's
nice, man.
Let me tell you, that the city's never been cleaner than that weekend.
It was one of those. Hey, we got All-Star weekend. We're just going to clean everything up. Yeah.
I walked down and I was like, there's a lot of people usually here that aren't here this weekend. I don't know where they went.
I will say, people have told me that the altitude like bothers them. I love the altitude. I love the air. It's crisp and clean.
And it's dry. You just got to bring chapstick. Or lotion, which we know you don't use.
I actually do use chapstick. That's not lotion. It's just chapstick. Lotion's a scam.
But we're out here in Utah for my wife's dental school for a few years.
Oh, I got you.
Transplants from Memphis. But I'm going to go see him play. But I was really counting on Wemby and Chet not having 4 years. I had $50 saying that they did.
I don't know how Wemby has not, like, I don't know how his knee is, like, there. He looks like, you know the South Park episode where y'all watch South Park?
I did back in the day. Not recently.
Freshman year.
Yes.
All right. The episode where Kyle wants to be a basketball player, did he hit, like, dude, like, the knees, and they, like, I can't believe Wemby's knees have not just, like, exploded. I don't know how they haven't done that. I have no idea. Like, some of the stuff he does, I'm like, wait, how, that should not be possible.
That was my preseason thinking. I was like, Chet and Wemby won't make it through the season. Keontae George is awesome. $50 on Keontae George.
That's the Utah thing. You were in Utah. You were reading all that preseason smoke, reading all that hype.
I saw him in Utah Summer League, man. Let me tell you, I'm still all the way in on Keontae George. That dude's going to be awesome.
He's played well.
Yeah, I tell him, never give up on a player after their first year. Like, never. Never do that. Some people come out and they're freaking awesome. But a lot of these guys, it takes some time. Yep. It takes some time.
For sure. Yeah. All right. We know it takes time. It's Grizz trivia. Let's go ahead and get on this, and we'll get out of here. We're in for Grizz trivia tonight. All right, tonight should be easy for you, Roser.
Nate, I just saw your private chat message, by the way. You're welcome. I just saw it. I have not looked over there at all. It's just sitting there.
Well, tonight is I stole these two, and these might be pretty easy from you, Roser. So I'm going to ask Nate, because I'm going to start you off with Nate, and I think Roser might get these. But Jaren tonight joined three other players in franchise history who had 19 points and 10 rebounds by halftime. Pete Pranica said it on the air. Roser, did you hear Pete say it on the air?
Powell, Sharif, I don't remember the third one, so I'm going to guess Lorenzen Wright.
Nate.
I heard him say it, but I've completely forgotten. So I think it's also Powell, Sharif, and...
Not Sharif.
Well, Sharif was Vancouver. Sharif never played for Memphis.
And Sharif did it in the second half.
Oh, Zebo.
Zebo is one of them. Powell, Zebo, and one more guy. By halftime.
At the half.
By Stroman. Half. Not Stromile.
Santi Aldama.
the Chandler Parsons throwback.
What? Oh, Gasol.
Nope. It was not Mark.
Mark?
Not
it's
Mark.
It's too obvious, or Daniel wouldn't ask that. Yeah. Daniel only wants to pick on me.
It's got to be like freaking Lawrence Roberts or something, or Alexander Johnson.
This guy is known for his rebounding. And it's not the beat. It's not Stromile.
Stromile wasn't known for rebounding. So it wasn't Lorenzen either?
Mm-mm.
It was Bo Outlaw.
All right. He was a guy who...
Was this a Vancouver and Memphis guy?
That was Big Country Bryant Reeves, and it was not Bryant Reeves.
That's exactly where I was going with that.
You know, I could just cheat and look at my text messages, because I got this in a text tonight from Ross Wood. So I could cheat.
Well, shout out to
you. I wasn't paying attention to it. You know, we call Ross the Undertaker, right?
Really? Why?
Because he tweets from – he does the Grizzlies PR tweet.
Right,
it's always about a player.
No, we just assumed that was Grizz PR, generic brand.
PR doing it, but yeah, it's we're like, man, it's always
15 and 10. Oh, I saw this in the chat, but I do like it.
Alan just got it.
Yeah, that's a. I can't believe I didn't think of that.
Jonas.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. I totally forgot about. I got my mom a Valanciunas jersey for her birthday. And then we traded him a week later.
Chuck, shut up. Get out of here, Chuck. Ken Clawton Jr.
All right, this is the other one I got. This is the last one. We'll end on this one. This is all about Jaren again. Tonight, he set a personal record ever in his career, ever. Hmm? Jaren had how many rebounds in one quarter?
Nine.
I figured that'd be the easier one. He had nine in the first quarter tonight. Jaren, shout out to you, man. He played very well. Shout out to Goon the Shooter. As always, hating on Jaren. Professional hater of Jaren.
You know, I say, like, you know, it bothers me sometimes where I'm like, man, there's people that hate on Jaren Jackson Jr. I'm like, Jaren's freaking awesome. But then I'm like, dude, I freaking hate on LeBron James, and the best players ever play the game. So I'm like, if I hate on LeBron James, who am I to get upset with somebody hating on Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Honestly, the problem is that we don't have haters on Twitter yet. That means that we haven't made it. That's a problem. I need haters.
Give it time, man. Give it time.
Give it time. It'll happen.
Look, you think this happened overnight? I've been on Twitter and X now for hell, what, like 2008, I think.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm the same time. I think that's when I got mine.
Always delete tweets. Always.
Yeah.
Always. However long you've been on there, go back to the beginning and start deleting.
I think I ran a something, just got a cleaner, and like it was like, put in these words, and I kept putting in words. I'm like, all right, what are the worst words possible? I kept putting them in, and like none of my stuff was pulling up. I'm like, thank God I was not a complete idiot.
A good thing. I have a thing that's set up like it. I think anything older than a year or two automatically gets deleted.
That's smart.
It automatically gets deleted. Yeah,
like, that's smart.
Over the last like 2 to 3 years, like I don't really tweet as much. Opinion stuff or anything, so
for sure.
Well Rosa,
we can't thank you enough. Bones loves 10 things over at the Chris Vernon Show. Listen, that's what you even said. I love 10 things.
I love fill in the blank too. We got fill in the blank tomorrow. Kelsey Wright Johnson in studio, all that good stuff.
Speaking of that, who should we bring on? So we brought on, you know, obviously a ton of people over the year, and because we're getting, the games aren't as fun, so we're trying to bring on more people, right, to kind of fill the time. Anybody that we should reach out to that you can kind of bring up that I've already contacted Devin, so we got to pull him off the board.
Devin's tougher because he's actually on the road with the team.
Correct.
So it's tougher for him. Devin would be good. Let me think. Have you brought Bennett on?
I have not brought Bennett on. I thought about bringing
Bennett. You talk movies with Bennett. Bennett will talk movies with you all day. And I meant to ask you, is Taylor Swift just as big as the Beatles? That's a thing going around. I think she might be, and I wasn't alive back then, but like, yeah, I think she's the closest thing.
So can I say, I think the Beatles are very overrated, but
no, that's fine. I was more of a Rolling Stones person myself.
Yeah, I don't like the Beatles.
Their popularity.
I think that I think she is there just because of how well she's known. Yeah. I think it has to be because she's now like the Swifties is a thing. Taylor's like the Swift name. It holds just true as the Eagles.
Yeah, sure. It's you look at who the biggest music artists in the world are, and they got one thing in common. Like they have women. Yeah. They have women. Except Taylor Swift has women ages 5 to 65, yep, which is insane. But yeah, like Beyonce, it's women. It's women. Go look at their concerts. It's women. Drake. Bro, you see videos from Drake concerts. It ain't guys in the crowd. It's women. It's women. Like that's, and I know it's a sensitive subject because he canceled in Memphis again.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine.
But yeah, like it's women. Like, yeah, and that's the key to all of it. So no, I think she might be.
Okay. Yeah, I
love Taylor Swift's music. Like she's freaking awesome. So
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we see you, chat.
But
yeah, we'll try to get Devin Walker in here for sure. I've already spoken with him. He's going to try to make it work at some point. I see CJ Hurt, not Dylan Brooks. Dave Brown.
CJ, man.
He goes to sleep early, though.
Yeah, but you got to tell him to like have some, get him on Weekend Game.
Okay.
And then tell him to have some drinks before.
All right.
You get a fun CJ.
All right, that's all we got. Listen, this has been a blast. You stayed on here much longer than I ever thought you would. So I want to appreciate that.
All good, man.
Everybody loves you here. Obviously, we have so much crossover audience that people, you know, I'll be in the chat a lot of times on your show. And so it'll be a good time. So I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us. But we are Grizz on a One, the postgame show with the Grizzlies. Stay tuned. We'll be back here Friday night, not Saturday. We're not going to be doing any more weekends the rest of the season. We're just not good enough to do weekends right now. It's not worth our time.
Or just say what it is. Like, team's not very good. Like, good.
We're taking the weekends off.
Yeah.
All right. For Roser and for Nate, I'm Daniel. Make sure you stay tuned. Be nice and tell your friends.